We continue our learning the Nishmas Tavi B'Merachim Mishnah Micham Yachab B'Pidichos Eliyahu Menachulin Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Gimel Hoysam Ofefes. If the mother bird literally was flying, it means that it started to fly away when a person tried to take the eggs or the chicks. The mother bird was not sitting on them; they were just hovering over. Bizman shekanafeha no goos ba'kein chayav l'shaleach. Ein kanafeha no goos ba'kein patrum l'shaleach. Says the Mishnah, if the mother bird is in this state where it's starting to fly away, it's hovering, not touching the nest, so then the Mishnah says like this, there is a chiyuv to send away the mother bird if the wings of the mother's not sitting on the young, but the wings are still touching the cane, are still touching the nest, so then chayv l'shaleach. But if the wings of the mother bird are not even touching the nest at all, then patrum l'shaleach, there is no obligation to send away the mother bird. This is based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, v'ha'im rovetzes al ha'efrochim ol ha'beitzim. What does it mean? The mother is rovetzes, is crouching, literally sitting on the chicks or the eggs. Why does the Torah use the word rovetzes and not me'ofefes? Because me'ofefes means that it's flying or hovering. And rovetzes means that it's actually sitting and crouching. What's the difference? It's a big difference. Rovetzes means that you're obligated to send the mother bird away when the mother bird is somewhat sitting, crouching on the eggs. So if it's me'ofefes, it's just hovering, flying over, so then you don't have to. On the other hand, if it's just touching it with its wings, so then why do am I chayv l'shaleach? Why is that an obligation? That's not considered rovetzes. So the answer is it is, because the Torah could have said the word yosheves. Yosheves means that it's really sitting, but it doesn't say it. It says rovetzes. So rovetzes teaches me on the one hand, it's not yosheves. It doesn't have to be sitting necessarily, but certainly if it's sitting, you have to send away the mother bird. But even if it's not yoshevetz, it's just rovetzes, which means that it may not be mo'ofefes, it's not flying, not hovering, but it's touching the nest somehow, touching the chick somehow, so then there is an obligation to send away the mother bird. So the rovetzes is the middle, and therefore, kanafeo, if the wings are touching the cane, yichayv the nest, yichayv to send away the mother bird, and if not, then you are patur from sending away the mother bird. Ein sham ela efro. Let's say there's only one chick or one egg. Now the Torah says Efrochim Obeitzim, says the Mishnah nonetheless Chayav L'Shaleach. When it says Efrochim Obeitzim, the Torah that in plural doesn't mean that the mitzvah only applies if you have multiple eggs or multiple chicks. It's enough just to have one. This is the way the Torah speaks. But it's not to be taken in a literal sense for the halacha to be dependent on there being multiple eggs or chicks. Shenamar, and the Mishnah explains why. Shenamar kan. Kan mikol makom. It says kan sipor, which is the nest of a tzipor. Kan means, now it happens to be that when you have the word kane, we learn maseches kinim, kane usually means two. But nonetheless here, kan mikol makom says that you come to chance upon the nest. So the nest, we assume applies to any nest, even if there's only one chick and one egg. Some of the farshim will say, and yes, it's true, kane usually means two. Here we consider the mother bird and one chick, or the mother bird and one egg, that would be considered two anyway, so we can fulfill the word kan or kane as it means in other contexts. Hayusham efrochin mafrichin oveitzim muzaros patol mishaleach shenayamar hava ha'im rovetzes al ha'efrochim ol ha'beitzim. What happened here? So let's say you have chicks that the chicks themselves are mafrichim. They are mafrichim means that they are like efroach. Efroach means a chick has become almost like a fledgling. So it means that it's at a point where they're capable of flying away, and they can find their own food, so they don't really need the mother anymore. So that's what it means when it says mafrichen. So says the Mishnah, in such a case, you're putter. That is not considered, if they're mafrichen on their own, so then that's not considered rovetes al ha'efrochel ol ha'beitzim. Why not? So let's take the other example in the Mishnah, and then we'll explain both. The other example was beitzim muzaros. That's where the eggs in the nest are incapable of producing chicks. They've never been fertilized. They're infertile eggs. And so here, if you have chicks that are able to fly in their own and find their own food, or you have infertile eggs, the halacha doesn't apply. Based on the pasuk, v'ha'im rovetes al ha'efrochim al ha'beitzim, how do I see that from the phrase? phrase? So the answer is, the Gemara explains, because it could have said already, the Torah already wrote Efruchim HaBoitzim, and you find them. And then it says it again, and the mother is sitting upon the Efruchim HaBoitzim. Why doesn't it just say the word Alehem? And it's sitting on them. So the fact that we specify the chicks and the eggs once again, we repeat that to tell you that I want to compare the chicks to the eggs and say that what? Just like chicks, only the chicks and the eggs that can be compared to one another are, as we'll see, what does it mean to compare one another? As we'll see in the Mishnah, are chayev, do we have a chiv to send away the mother bird? So what does it mean we compare the two? So says the Mishnah, ma efrochin b'nei kayama, af beitzim b'nei kayama. Yatsu Muzaros. So the first, we go out of order, really. We're going to show why we exclude the infertile eggs from the halach of Shiluach HaKenim, sending away the mother bird. But it's the comparison between the Efrochim and the Beitzim. Just like Efrochim, chicks are B'nei Kayam. They're literally sustainable. They're viable. So too, Beitzim have to be B'nei Kayam. So the comparison between the Efrochim and Beitzim, the fact that the Torah repeated that phrase, Efrochim and Beitzim, is to compare the Efrochim to the Beitzim and the Beitzim to the Efrochim. In what way are we comparing the Beitzim to the Efrochim? Just like Efrochim are viable, so too, the Beitzim have to be viable. If they're Muzaros, they're infertile, they can't produce a chick, so then the mitzvah doesn't apply. But now we go the other way as well. Umaha Beitzim Tzrichim Le'imam, Afo Efrochim Tzrichim Le'imam. And just like we know eggs, we assume eggs means that the mother has to sit on them till they hatch. So too, the Efrochim have to be like the Beitzim. And just like Beitzim need the mother, the Efrochim, where there's an obligation to send away the mother on mother bird, is only when they need their mother. This excludes the Mafrichim, the ones that are able to fly on their own. They're fledglings now. They're able to fly on their own and find their own food. So they're excluded from the mitzvah. Then the Mishnah says, Shulcha v'chazra. Shulcha v'chazra. You sent away the mother bird and the mother bird returned. You did it again. She returned. Afilu arba v'chamisha palmim. We have this in many places in Shas. We say even four or five times, like Hashav HaSaveda is an example. Chayav, you're still chayav to send away the mother bird even 100 times. Shnei Amar, Shaleach to Shalach. Where do we see that from there? So some of the first say from the word Shaleach. Shaleach means you have to send away. That's an obligation every time it happens. Doesn't it? Shaleach, they only have to do it once. Or maybe the double language, Shaleach to Shalach, you have to say send away even 4 or 5 times. Amar Hareini Yotela So'emim Shaleach HaZabonim. Chayav the Shaleach. Here's someone who says, you know what? I'm going to take the mother and send away the children. Have I not accomplished the goal? This is send away the mother and taking the chicks, or taking the mother to send away the chicks. Either way, I separate the two, whatever rachmanis I'm supposed to have, the emotional support that it needs. I took care of whatever I needed to take care of. What's the difference which I take and which I send away? Says the mission, that doesn't work. You want to take the mother bird, send away the chicks, the eggs or the chicks? That's that you cannot do. You have to follow whatever the Torah tells you to do. Shenamar shaleach tishalach esha'im. The Torah says, what does that teach me? The mitzvah is to send away the mother bird, and not the other way. The Torah says, shaleach tishalach esha'im. So what do I need? Meaning, the Torah says two things. It says, v'esabanim tikach loch. It says, you surely have to send away the mother bird, and you have to and take the chicks for yourself. You don't need to tell me that. That should be obvious. I sent away the mother bird. I want the chicks. Send away the mother bird, so you have to say, and then you should take the chicks. So the Torah says, yes, you know why I said it in that way? I want to emphasize that it has to be only that you send away the bird and take the chicks, and not the other way, that you can send away the chicks and take the mother bird. Interesting question, just in halacha, there's some debate. Is number one, could a person fulfill the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein by sending away, let's say, not like our case here, you send away the chicks and take the mother? The Mishnah says you can't do that. What if I send both of them away? Maybe I'll fulfill the mitzvah. I sent away the mother bird, then I sent away the chicks. So have I not fulfilled the mitzvah? Actually, I have to take the chicks. So some poskim say, no, you don't have to. You fulfill the mitzvah. You sent away the mother bird, and now you got rid of the chicks too. There's no problem with doing that. And let's say, no, the mitzvah is to send away the, let's say I don't want the chicks. No, you're supposed to take them because that is what the Torah prescribes. Another interesting question is, let's say a person, you have someone who found a bird's nest, by chance, as it's supposed to be, Kare Khan Sipor is driving on the way, but he's not interested in doing the mitzvah. So is this an obligation for him? He doesn't want to take the chicks, no interested in doing so, but he happens to chance upon this. So that also is a question. Some claim, if you're not interested in taking the chicks, so there's no mitzvah shalach to shalach ha'saim. And others claim, no, if this is Kare Khan Sipor, this is what you see. You see there's a mother hovering over the, or sitting on the rovetzes, rather. Al ha'efruchim al ha'etzim. You see that, and it's not in your backyard, so then the obligation exists. Let's say you took the chicks, and you sent away the mother bird, and you took the chicks, and now you brought them back into the nest. And then the mother comes back to care for them. Patrim l'shalech. At this point, there's no obligation to send away the mother bird. Why is that so? Didn't we say shalach to shalach even four or five times, etc.? So the answer is here, once you took hold of the chicks, you made a kinyan on them. They're yours. And since they're in your possession, there's no obligation to perform this mitzvah. When the same way, if you have a nest in your domain, the mitzvah does not exist. It's ki kare. You chance upon it. So that of hefker. So too, in our Mishnah. Since it's now in your domain, you've acquired the chicks already, you decide to put them back in the nest, they are yours. The mother comes back, there's no obligation to send away the mother bird. Perek Yudbeis Mishnah Dalet. Hanotel Eim Al Habanim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Lokev Eino Mishaleach. Person who, let's say, violated this. He took the chicks and didn't say where the mother bird. Says Rabbi Yehuda, a person gets malchus for that. You violated the Torah. He did an action. And at this point, you've lost your chance. To send away the mother bird at this point is too late. Chachamim omrim, mishaleach, no. You can send away the mother bird. They ain't oloke, and you actually not get malchus. What's the basis of this machlokes? So there's a question whether this mitzvah of shiluach hakein is an example of a lav hanita. We have examples of such a thing, though. The classic lav hanita klase, we have a lav, a negative commandment that can be rectified by a positive commandment, is lo sigzol, is stealing. A person steals, so the Torah says, veheshiv es hagzela sher gazal. You did an action, a negative commandment of the Torah, you should get malchus for that, you get 39 lashes, and you don't. Why? Because the Torah tells you how to rectify that. So one of the explanations why, if you leave chametz around on Pesach, you don't get malchus, is because it's a lav shein bo maisa. There's no action involved. And another reason for that is it's a lav hanita klase. The Torah says when you have chametz around, you kept it around, you should not have done so. It's a negative commandment of bayra bal yamatze. Nonetheless, it can be rectified by getting rid of the chametz, by burning the chametz. So the question is whether that is true here as well. Here you have someone who, the Torah says, that's the negative commandment. Shalach to shalach. Send away the mother word. It sounds like if I took the chicks, so then you're not going to get malchus for taking the chicks, taking the eggs, because you can send away the mother bird. So that is the opinion of the Chachamim, and that's why Mishaleach, we tell you if you violated this negative commandment by taking the chicks, taking the eggs, send away the mother bird, and there's no malchus at all. And Rabbi Yehuda said, no, loke. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda believes that this is not a classic example of a lav hanita klase. When the Torah says send away the mother bird, that's not after the fact that you violated taking away the chicks and the eggs. That's lechatchila, that's to begin with. Initially, you come upon, you chance upon this nest, you see you want to take the chicks, and the Torah says send away the mother bird. Now, lo sikacha im al habanim, that's a negative commandment not to do so. But the shalech to shalach is not the mitzvah to do after you violated the taking the chicks. And like, oh, you stole them, now you can fix it by returning it, by sending away the mother bird. No, sending away the mother bird, you should do it to begin with. And if you violated it, there's no way to rectify that at this point, and therefore you're going to get malchus for that. Zeh klal, says the Mishnah. Kol mitzvahs lotav, this is the Chachamim's opinion, but the truth is, this is a general principle. The question is whether the lav hanita klase applies in our case. This is the general rule, kol mitzvahs lo sase, sheyesh b'kumase. Anytime you have a negative commandment, there's a positive commandment that can rectify that, ain lo kanala, you do not get malchus for that. Even within the Chacham's opinion that this is a lav hanita klase, that we are with you, even if you violated and you took the chicks, you can send away the bird, mother bird, there's a machlokes amoroi between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, debate whether who said what, but whether how this plays itself out. because there are two general principles where they really debate how we view this case of Shiluach HaKein. So the first opinion is what we call bitlo velo bitlo. It really means nullifying the positive commandment or not nullifying the positive commandment. What does that mean? So here you have your person who didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach to Shalach. So we said, according to the Tanakhama, he said, Ein Lokin Olav. Meaning, here's the person who took the chicks, he violated the negative commandment, but he can always send away the mother bird, so therefore he's not going to get malchus. But how much time do we give him to send away the mother bird? His whole life? At what point is there a point where we could say, well, he never fulfilled the positive command? He ate all the chicks. The mother bird the chicks are still there now. You took them, brought them to your house, and you never send them away the mother bird. At what point are you going to tell me he's never going to get malchus for violating lo sikacha im al abanim? Why? Because he could always send away the mother bird. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the only time you're going to get malchus for that is where you, the person, made it impossible to ever send away the mother bird. How is that? So let's say you killed the mother bird. You killed the mother bird, you're proactive in being mevatel. That's what it means, bitlo velo bitlo. You nullified it. Through your action, you made it impossible to fulfill the mitzvah. So at that point, if you kill the mother bird, now you can't send away the mother bird at all. So then you are going to incur the malchus for violating lo sikacha eim al abanim. And in fact, according to this, let's say the mother bird dies. You can't send away the mother bird either. You would not get malchus for that. Why? Because you didn't remove the possibility of the lav hanitak laseh of sending away the mother bird. That Hashem did. So the only time you'd get malchus is where you, the person, are mevatel. That is one opinion. The other opinion is kiimo velo kiimo. How does that work? This is, you don't have to nullify anything. You have an opportunity to send away the mother bird, even according to the Chachamim, even after the fact. Remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's no discussion about this. You're getting malchus right away because you violated the negative commandment of taking the chicks, and you didn't send away the mother bird. It's too late to send away the mother bird. You get malchus. But according to the Chachamim, where we say, no, there's the opportunity still to send away the mother bird. At to what point? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, pretty much forever, unless you do something that, and you won't get malchus, unless you do something that would make it now inconceivable for you to be able to do to fulfill that obligation. And that's where you kill the mother bird. And even if it died on its own, you don't get malchus. According to the other opinion, chemo, velo chemo, it's not nullifying it, bit low, little bit low, but it's chemo, velo chemo. It's failure to fulfill the positive command. Even if you don't actively nullify it, that's when you're going to get malchus. So what does that mean? So we give you the opportunity to fulfill the positive commandment. And if you fail to do so at that point, yes, you violated the negative commandment. We give you a chance to send away the mother bird. You don't send away the mother bird, now you're going to get malchus. But even according to this opinion, at what point, do we say, if you don't have to nullify and kill the mother bird, how much time do we give you to fulfill the mitzvah? So according to some Rishonim, it's when, once you're brought to the Beis Din for violating this, and you're warned by the Beis Din that you have to fulfill this mitzvah of sending away the mother bird, and you refuse to do so, so then you're going to get malchus. If you don't fulfill it immediately, then you're going to get malchus at that point. According to other Rishonim, no, that's not what it means. You're not giving that one chance, that one moment. You're going to receive the malchus when it becomes impossible for you to fulfill the mitzvah. That sounds like the other opinion. No. The other opinion is the only way you nullify it. You kill the mother bird. Let's say the mother bird dies on its own. So according to the principle, chemo velo chemo, that's when you don't have to fulfill the mitzvah anymore because you can't do so. But even according to the second opinion, according to some Rishonim, we give you time. You don't have to do it immediately. You still have a chance to do it, unless it becomes impossible, but not through your act, but maybe through an act of heaven. That's a point where you're going to get the malchus because you can't fulfill the mitzvah, the positive mitzvah anymore.